you got your picture? Yeah.
Whole picture.
Yeah. We don't have a picture unless we got business. Elder Darrell Hand, may the Lord bless you, Brother Darrell. We love you.
Thank you. It's so very, very good to be with you today. I felt led to come here today. If we're just be still and know that I am God, listen to Him and trust Him, He'll lead our ways.
Yes, He will.
Lead our paths. You know, yesterday was such a wonderful day to hear all the ministers of the area. I feel myself to be the least among them. But we had such a precious time gathered together in praising our Lord and Savior. Brother Gary is such a sweet, dear friend of mine. And I so appreciate him. Makes me feel so very welcome. And have learned so much from him. I remember my dad told me, said, I'd a lot rather see a sermon than hear one. And I see Brother Gary in his walk exemplifying Jesus Christ. And that helps me. It helps me tremendously to see each and every one of you here wanting and desiring the Spirit of God in our lives. You know, yesterday I've been able to meet several old Baptists from around this part of the country. And it's been wonderful. It's like I just know them and love them right away.
Yeah, so.
I had several invitations to come to be and worship with them today. Annelle and I had our suitcases packed. Sometimes we don't know where we're going. But I want to go where the Lord wants me to go.
Amen.
I want to go where I can feel the presence of God.
Right.
After the meeting, I got to driving. Ended up at home. Laid down and prayed.
Yes.
Where are we? Who are we going to be with today? We have such a wonderful God.
Amen.
Excuse me. That draws us. In Jeremiah, he says, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love.
Amen.
Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee.
Amen.
I felt drawn here today, and I know you have too. Felt that drawing. You want to be with those that love the Lord. You want to be with the Spirit of God. It's a precious, precious thing that we have in our lives. Without Jesus, without the things of all goodness, without the God of goodness, the God of all comfort, we have nothing. Jesus tells us, in this world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Isn't that precious?
Amen.
He has overcome the tribulations of this old body, of this world that we live in, that we might lift our thoughts above to Him. Oh, we think of the precious things that Jesus has done for us. We can see all goodness because of Jesus Christ. We know what is good. He says, I will put my laws in their inward parts. I will put it into their minds.
Right.
He says, over in the 31st chapter of Jeremiah, let me get to that. In those days they shall say no more. It's the 29th verse of the 31st chapter of Jeremiah. In those days they shall say no more, thy fathers have eaten a sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge. Now what in the world does that mean? That means that we, in this New Testament, in the way that God has devised means that His banished be not expelled from Him, has put His laws in our inward parts. You're no longer under the law. You're under the age of grace. By grace and mercy are you saved. That you individually are not going to taste the sour grape of your dad right. and what he did. Right. But it's what you do in this life. How precious is that? He said, but everyone shall die for his own iniquity. That's not a death in eternity. That's a death here in this life. That we are dead from the Spirit of God. He says, every man that behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which is my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. Think about this. This is what God is doing for us because we were dead in trespass and sin. He has sent His only begotten Son Amen. To die for our sins, to be a propitiation for our sins. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts. You have God's law in your inward parts. You know what's right and what's wrong because God put it in there.
Yeah.
You think you feel bad about doing this or doing that? Yeah, He's telling you, this is the way that you are to walk. This is the way that you are to live. This is the goodness of the life that I've given you, the abundant life. He says, make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers, to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. I am so glad
Amen.
He is my God.
Amen.
I am so glad we are His people.
Amen.
It's a precious thing to have the God of all creation that you are His.
Amen.
We are a purchased possession from what Jesus Christ done for us.
Right.
We are been taken from captivity of sin and death and made holy and without blame before Him. In love by what Jesus Christ has done
Amen.
For us. Isn't that special? Isn't that precious? Isn't that wonderful? Oh, sinner like me, God sees me white as snow. Because He sees me through the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm not worthy of it. None of us are. We're sinners. But we have one that has drawn us with an everlasting love. A loving kindness He has drawn us. Isn't that precious?
Yes.
I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people, and they shall teach no more. Listen to this. We don't need to go overseas to tell people about God because they know Him. It's not something that we have to go and tell them the gospel so that they might believe in God and be saved.
Right.
That's not what the book tells us. It tells us, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me. There are those in this time world that believe that if you have not heard the gospel and that you have not accepted God as your Savior, or Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will not go to heaven. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine a God that has drawn us with an everlasting love, drawn us to Him, and then leave us on the railroad track as a little baby and say, come to me. He's not going to do that. God is our wonderful Savior. We were chosen before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. From the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. That's good news to me. Is that not good news to you? That's what the gospel is. It's a good news that we are taken from bondage, from the evils of this world, and through His power, we can walk in this life in all goodness. We can think on the good things because of what Jesus Christ has done for us by the Spirit that He has put within us. We know what goodness is. God is good.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is everything to us, what He's done to for us. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sins no more. Thus saith the Lord. This is the Lord. Now who is God? Listen to this. This thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar, the Lord of hosts is His name. That's God, the one that's in control, the one that can take you out of this life of sin into a trek following God and His goodness. You are able to do that because of what Jesus Christ did unto you. Otherwise, you have no. You're completely depraved. I want to talk a little bit about Jesus and what He's done for us. Jesus Christ, our Savior. I'm going to go in the book of Hebrews. The first chapter. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. This is the first chapter of Hebrews. Think about that statement. He says, at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in the times past unto the fathers by the prophets. That's all of the Old Testament. That's all about Jesus. It all talked about the prophecy of the Messiah coming. Hath in these days, last days, spoken to us by His Son.
Amen.
That's Jesus as He walked this land.
Amen.
That's Jesus that works in your heart to will and to do the good things of the Father. That's all about Jesus. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Worlds.
Right.
Plural.
Absolutely.
The world above where God lives, the world down here, the depths of the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and express image of His person. That's Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's God manifest in the flesh.
Jesus. Amen.
Jesus.
Right.
We need to know about Jesus. It's the God of all creation and all salvation, that He is the express image of His Him was Jesus Christ.
Right.
Here on this earth. And upholding all things by the word of His power.
Oh, yeah.
Now that's power.
Amen.
When He had by Himself,
Amen.
Underline that, by Himself purged our sins.
Yes.
You are not going to have your sins purged by hearing the gospel, by some preacher. There is one way that your sins were purged, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Set down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels. It's just such a precious thing. Let me go to one more place in Timothy. Let's think about this. Second Timothy, second chapter, 24th verse. Think about what Jesus has done for you.
Right.
What He's done for us. Why would we not follow Him? If you love me, keep my commandments, He says. Second chapter of Timothy. And the servant of the Lord must not strive. You think we don't get things out of these words in the Bible? Do we not go around striving all the time? Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there.
Amen.
That's very simple. We read right past it. And I'm talking about me. I don't know how many times I have struggled in my flesh trying to read this book, trying to understand the things that He says, and just wear myself out trying to understand His Word, trying to figure out what He says. Lay it down, He gives you rest, you open it back up, doesn't matter where it is, and He opens a revelation to you. It's an amazing thing what God can do for you in this life. But you got to trust Him. You got to believe that He is. And He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. You ever opposed yourself?
Absolutely.
The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. We're a twofold being. We're fighting all the time with ourselves. But if we look to God, if we pray for His Spirit, if we pray for His guidance, then we know the goodness of God. It's the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. And I want to repent from that old life that I see in this world. It has not done me any good. I thought it did for many, many years. And I was running from God. And I was saying, I can do this. I want this. I'm going to do this. I'm in control of my own life. He showed me a different way. Because all I did was mess up by the lustful desires out there of money and the things of power and all those things. It's not the answer, my dear friends. The answer is knowing and drawing close to our God and Savior. Draw nigh to Him and He'll draw nigh to you. He says, if God, in meekness instructing those that oppose Him, opposing themselves, if God preadventure will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth. It takes God to let you know what is the truth. Jesus says, I am the truth.
Yes.
I am the way.
Right.
I am the life.
Right.
Oh, it's something. My dear brother came to me this morning and he said we had such a wonderful day yesterday with all the preaching service and all the loving kindness that we'd shown one another. And he says, he looked at me and says, I just can't get enough of it.
Yeah.
How precious is that?
Yeah.
I want some more of it. I want more Jesus. You want more Jesus in your life?
Mm-hmm.
You can have it all. Draw nigh to Him. Try doing the right things. It was such a precious thing when Anel and I drove up this morning. We happened to be here earlier than we usually are there. Because that old long text that Brother Gary sent me, I just felt like, man, I got to be with that those bunch. I got to be with those that are so precious to me. And I drove up, and I see in the distance from up the street here, Brother Terry out there getting the front yard all swept up and raked up. And I thought, he loves the Lord. He loves God, and he loves God's people. It's wonderful to see one another in their actions walking for the Lord. Not for themselves. This dear brother Terry is not doing that so he can shine up.
No,
he wants to show God's glory.
Amen.
He wants to show the world out there that we believe in an ever-living God that is with us and draws nigh to us and with loving kindness draws us.
Amen.
Do you feel that drawing in you? Do you feel it sometimes?
Amen.
Do you want to be close to Jesus?
Amen.
Oh, it's such a miraculous thing to know that God is in charge and His only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in Him shall have everlasting life.
Amen.
That's a wonderful thing.
Right.
Death doesn't bother us anymore. Oh, those old Baptists over there, they're just singing about, oh, how sweet to die. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, you read this thing long enough, you're going to say, it's a glory land. It's that land that I want to be in. I want to see what heaven's like. I want to see God's face, face to face. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Just to think that the God of all heaven, the God that created all things, the God that is in charge, that can take a little petunia flower and make it bloom, all the small intricacies of the working of us within us, that He's in charge of it all. There is no way that anyone can imagine going through a life like this thinking that there's not a God. It's such a precious thing to know, and what's so good about it is you feel Him.
Yeah.
He's in you. It's God that worketh in you. It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Not that we can work our way to heaven. You can't do it.
No.
There's nothing you can do to get to heaven.
No.
And there's nothing you can get out if you're one of His. There are cathedrals out there that worship the same Jesus that we do. But I tell you, it gets within those big cathedrals. It gets within 2 or 3 minutes of 12 o'clock and that preacher doesn't stop. They're all looking at one another and saying, I got to get out of here. I want to back in the world. You see an old Baptist, and he's going to stay up here until the Lord lets him loose. That's just the way it works. That's what I like about the old Baptist church. You don't have to come here all dressed to a certain way. You don't have to come and sit in a certain place. You don't have to come up and make some kind of a sacrifice to some altar. Let me tell you, the altar is Jesus Christ. It's not a thing. It's a love. God is love. Is it not precious to you? I know it is. That's why I feel so good coming together with y'all just to acknowledge the wonders of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and our magnificent God. He says, in meekness instructing those that oppose Himself, if God preadventure will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Let me tell you, it's a snare. He'll get you. He's stronger than we are. Who are taken captive by Him at His will. There is one defense against that. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Through all things, we acknowledge Him.
Amen.
If you resist the devil, he'll flee from you. But we have one that is so much higher, so much stronger than any evil of this world that you can pray to, you can draw nigh to, and you can follow His example that walk this life, our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, says God. And with loving kindness have I drawn thee.
Amen.
That's what I want. That's what I want to be close to. And that's what I see when I'm here with you. You see it, you feel it, you know it's there. God needs to be praised continually as we walk in this life. Thank you so much for your good attention and your time. It's been wonderful to be with you.
Good preacher.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior.
So good. Enjoy that so much. I knew you had it.
Do not pass me by, Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
Certainly the way I feel this morning as I stand before you, I just have enjoyed the preaching so very, very much. And told Brother Hand, I said, I believe you're really happy with this. And I could feel that. And when you feel the Lord's presence, it's a wonderful thing to even stand before the Lord's people when you feel that He's given you the words that you need and all that you stand in need of in this world. And yet, this world can be a very fearful place and a place that is very difficult for God's little children. And it's all about, are we in fellowship and are we enjoying the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ? And that's really what preaching helps us do. We're able to see Him and to be able to better embrace Him and to live for Him. And we get instruction from God's Word. It's part of taking His yoke upon us and learning of Him. And He is meek and lowly in heart. And when we do that, we'll find rest unto our souls. And we're in a weary land and we certainly need rest. I told Sharon this morning I was battling between two texts. I said, I've got a battle going on between a couple texts, and she said, "Well, just pray." And I said, "That's good. That's good. That's a good help me to tell you just to pray." So I've been praying that the Lord would lead us and direct us, and feel like He's already sent us preaching, and I hope it's blessed you as it's blessed me, and I feel much better about that already. It's important that the little lambs and sheep that gather get fed. And I feel like there's been a good meal the Lord's provided already for us. But as we sang, do not pass me by. As I stand before you, I want to get happy like Brother Hand got happy. I want to feel the blessings of the Lord. And that comes from Almighty God. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn with me. I'm going to read to you about the 10 verses that are found in the 35th chapter of the Old Testament book of Isaiah. Isaiah 35. We'll read all 10 verses. Don't intend to be lengthy before you, but Brother
Ann has already told you the old Baptist is just going to go until they finish. So he's already warned you. And we'll try to be somewhat mindful as the Lord gives us liberty and direction. We know that he knows what's best. And if we follow him, it'll be all right. I love these verses. Don't think I've ever, as much as I've heard them preached on, ever made an effort to preach on them myself. But they've been on my mind this morning. And I just want to briefly touch, to at least read them in your hearing. It says, "The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. And in the habitation of dragons where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And an highway shall be there and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up therein. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." Sounds like a wonderful place, doesn't it? That Isaiah was given the eye as a prophet of God to be able to see and write and pin down and tell us about. The wilderness and the solitary place. That sure doesn't sound like a very good place, does it? The wilderness and the solitary place. And you know, for us in this world, if we're left to ourselves, that's exactly what the world is. And that's all that it'll ever be. It's just a wilderness. Just a place where you're alone. No matter how many people you gather around you, no matter how much you try to fix it up, prop it up, pretty it up, it's just an empty place. It's a place of vanity and emptiness. And without the Lord, without His fellowship in this old world, it doesn't matter how much money you got, how big your house is, how well your family's getting along or anything else. Without the Lord, that's what the world is. And really, without the Lord, that's what our soul is. That's what's going on in us. As the one hymn writer wrote, he said, "When he looked within, all is vain and wild within. And he saw that false and full of sin I am, but thou art full of truth and grace." And the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. You know, I just saw a preacher get up here before us, and he sure didn't look like a wilderness and a solitary place. And the place we're in this morning didn't feel like a wilderness and a solitary place. But we had some good news that we were able to share. And right here in a world that's just nothing without the Lord but a wilderness and a solitary place, because there was a Savior who loved His people so much, He came into this world at the appointed time of the Father. And He came to do something that only He could do, and that is to save His people from their sins. And He also placed in this world a place of worship and a place of service called His church. He said, "Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And that church is a place where it's not a wilderness and it's not a solitary place, but it's a place that's glad for them. And what is the them? It's the blessings of Almighty God that flow out of the throne of God. God's little children need to hear about the goodness and the mercy of the Lord. That's why you came here today. You didn't come here to hear about the news. You didn't come here to hear any bad news. You didn't come here to hear about politics. You didn't come here to hear about the latest and greatest thing. But you did come to hear about the greatest thing, which is not late. It's from a long time back. It's the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, there's good news for God's little children to hear today. And that good news will make glad the city of God. That good news will make glad the Lord's people. That good news will encourage those that need encouragement. That good news will direct those that need direction to where to go and how to walk. Because in this world, the Lord who has made us has given us a place to walk. He's given us a fellowship. He's given us something in this world to make us glad and to make us happy. And that means you and I ought not be walking around so sad. I remember it from many years ago and have repeated it many times. One old brother came in and was telling us about how God's children are preserved. He said, but when you look at them sometimes, it looks like they're preserved in pickle juice. Because the way they look, and the way they act, and the way they behave is certainly not very happy. Now you let us take an account of our life. Does it look like we're preserved in pickle juice? Well, we shouldn't be, because I'm telling you, he says the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. That means there is a message in this world and the fellowship of the Lord that you and I have in this world that ought to make us glad. That doesn't mean we put on a false smile and carry it around with us. There's some weeping that we do. There's a time for crying. There's a time for weeping. There's a time for mourning. But I'm telling you, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ can help you no matter what your condition is, no matter what your state is, especially when you feel like I'm a wilderness and I'm all alone and there's no help for me and there's no hope for me and everywhere I look I don't see anything but bad news. I want to tell you today what the Word of God says, and that is, when the Lord sent His Son into this world, He sent one who was able to save, that you and I can look to Him. He has already secured our eternal salvation, and He's done everything that we stand in need of to face each day, each moment of our life, and find the joy and the rest and the peace that's there in Him. Do you need that?
Amen.
I need it.
Yes.
I need it right now as I stand before Him, as I come to this pulpit. If He doesn't give me grace, I'll tell you what's in me. It's nothing but a solitary wilderness, and it's a place of being alone. But when I feel the Lord's presence, listen, when I feel that He's with me, I don't worry about whether you really like what I say or not. And I don't mean that hatefully. But you know, I worry about that a lot sometimes when I come before people. Are they going to enjoy what I have to say? I sure hope they enjoy it. I sure hope they have peace about it. But most of that's coming out of old Gary. When the Lord's in the matter, at that point, you're just talking about the goodness of the Lord. You sure hope they like it, but if they don't like it, you're going to keep on talking anyway, because I'm telling you, it'll make God's little children glad. I can't make you anything that you're not already. If you're blind, I can't give you eyes, but I'll tell you, there's a Jesus who does give the blind eyes. If you can't hear and you're deaf, I can't give you ears, but there's a Jesus who's given you ears. And if you have eyes and you have ears, I want you to know Jesus gave them to you. And that's where it came from. And that's good news. Because listen, He didn't try to do it. He didn't hope to do it. He didn't want to do it. He came to do it. And the Word of God says He did it. So much so that a wilderness and a solitary place can be glad for them. And the desert rejoice and blossom as a rose. You look at a desert, it looks like, boy, that place will never blossom. You know, have you ever seen in nature when a little water hits a desert, what happens? You know, it looks like there's nothing but dead stuff there. But then when the Lord sees fit to pour a little water on it for a little while, and by the way, every raindrop comes from the Lord. Don't complain about them too much, because you complain about the one who sends them, and we ought not do that. He's in control. Aren't you glad He's in control of the heavens and the earth and the storms and all that's going on in this world? Otherwise, you and I have every reason to be scared to death, because we think nothing. How are we going to make it through this? I'm telling you, we're not alone in this world. You have a friend in Jesus who was there when it was time to feed the 4,000. That's the other text that I wanted to talk about. When it was time to feed the 4,000, He was there with everything they stood in need of. I'm telling you, He had no problem taking the 7 loaves and feeding 4,000 with them. He'd just done it a couple chapters before that, where He'd fed 5,000, and His disciples still afraid. How are we going to eat? You get like that sometimes? Can I tell you, He's already been with you in your life so many places and so many times that we really, if we think about it and remember, how good has the Lord been to us?
He's daily loaded me with benefits and you. And He said He'd never leave me nor forsake me. And though I might sometimes feel like a wilderness and a desert place, I want you to know there's one who can turn your wilderness upside down and feed you in the wilderness. Is there a man who's able to feed us in the wilderness? Is there anybody who can help me? You ever feel like that? Is there anybody who can get me through this? Is there anybody who's the answer to my problem? I'm telling you, just before the feeding of the 4,000, they brought unto Him, they carried unto Him the lame. You know why they carried Him? Because they couldn't walk and they couldn't get there any other way. They carried them to Him, and they carried the blind because they couldn't see to walk. And they carried the dumb and the deaf because they couldn't get along on their own. And they said, the Bible says they cast them down at the feet of Jesus, and He healed them all. Let me tell you, you take all your burdens, and let me take all my burdens today, and let us cast them down at the feet of Jesus, because He's the one who can make the desert bloom. In this natural world, the Lord pours a little water on the desert, and that place comes alive. They call them little oases. And the difference between the oasis and everything else is there's a little water there. And that water makes everything blossom. And the life comes from the Lord. A lot of times the life doesn't look, it doesn't look like there's anything living there. The water doesn't give the life. The water just brings the life to light, doesn't it? It just allows you to see. It doesn't look like it's alive. Put a little water on it, and the next thing you know, it looks alive. You ever seen a church like that? Sometimes y'all look like that. Sometimes the preacher looks like that when he gets in the pulpit. Have you seen him? He gets in the pulpit and he looks so dry and barren, you go like, oh, I don't think much preaching's going today. And then the Lord pours out a little of His showers of blessing upon that minister, and all of a sudden he lights up and you go like, phew, something happened to him. Let me tell you what happened to him. There have been some days in my life that it felt so dark and so cold, I thought, am I going to ever feel Him again? And then He pours a blessing out on us in those dark, difficult times. And you know at that time, the only one who could have helped me, hear me, if you and I thought we could help ourselves, believe me, we pat ourselves on the back for it. And so the Lord brings us sometimes. Somebody said, will the Lord put more upon you than you can handle? You know, there's an answer that says, no, He won't. But there's another answer that says, yes, He will. He will put more on you than you can handle, just to let you know you can't handle it. And you need, and I need, to turn it over to Him. Who could have helped the blind? We can carry them to Jesus, but we can't do anything for them. Jesus heals them. You mean, how do we? And listen, we won't even carry them there unless the Lord gives us the ability. And so even those things, only by the grace of God. He goes on and He says, it shall blossom abundantly. That doesn't say, that isn't a little bit, that's a lot. And He says, and rejoice, even with joy and singing, the glory of Lebanon. That is, remember the cedars of Lebanon? Brother John Funks preached a little bit about that yesterday, the beauties of the cedars of Lebanon, and how the temple and all of those were built by those by that wonderful material that was there, and the beauty of Lebanon, how it shall be given unto the unto it, and the excellency of Carmel and Sharon, and they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. You know, and it's something when you come to the house of the Lord. And David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord. That's one thing. And I don't believe that meant he didn't want anything else. I believe he said one thing above everything else he desired of the Lord, and that was to dwell in His house and to dwell in His tabernacle, to inquire in the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. I'm telling you, you and I are to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness in our life, and all these other things shall be added to it. What does that mean? That means the things that you and I stand in need of. Doesn't mean everything you want. It means everything that you truly need, the Lord will supply. You and I today, what are we to do? We're to look to Him and lean upon Him. And this is what the gospel does. Strengthen ye the weak hands. Does God's little children have weak hands? Yes, they do. What does the gospel do? That's what it did for me this morning as Brother Darrell was preaching. It strengthened my weak hands. It helped me to remember what the Lord's taught me and told me in my heart. It helped me to remember I have a friend in Jesus that I can look to and lean upon. And that when we don't have anything to eat, we've got one who took
a few loaves and a few fishes and fed a multitude. And when they got finished, they had more at the end than they started with. That's who we're serving. That's who we're living in this world with and for. Really, it's why we have life. He says, strengthen ye the weak hands. God's little children, as they labor in this world, sometimes get weak. They don't stop believing. They still believe, but they get weak. They get shaken. They get hit by this and they get hit by that, so they get weak. What do they need? A good dose of the gospel, the good news. And strengthen ye the weak hands, and confirm, that is, to build up the feeble knees. I know what it's like to have feeble knees, and it's good to have a little stand to stand with, or a little help as you go along when your knees are a little shaky. And as God's little children spiritually walk in this world, sometimes we get a little shaky in our knees. And so what do we need? We need a good dose of the gospel. That's why you and I ought not miss church. That's pretty plain and simple, but it's why we ought to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Because when we get away from this, even when you have to get away, sometimes you're sick and just simply cannot come. Sometimes you want to be there and can't go. I'm telling you, you still miss it when you're not there. You need a daily dose of it, don't you? I just need to hear it over and over again. That's why the brother said, and I'll tell you what you'll find. The more you hear it, the more you'll want to hear it. And I also know this. The more you stay away, the easier it seems to become to stay away, because we don't realize how much we're missing. But I'll tell you what happens. Spiritually speaking, this old world becomes a wilderness and a solitary place, and we lose the joy. We don't lose our life, but we lose the joy. Where do we have joy? When we keep these things in memory. Of what the Lord. Listen, Jesus is with you every day, whether you're remembering it or not. But isn't it a whole lot better to remember that you have a friend, so that when you get in trouble, you're not scared to death, but you realize, but Jesus is with me. I've got all I need in Him. I don't need to fear what man can do to me. He says, say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong. That's what the gospel says. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. Now, the vengeance that He comes with is directed through the forces of darkness and evil in this world. And there is evil in this world that would lead us away from Him. And I'll tell you, you already know that. You know, if you just get in neutral and hang around a while, the old devil doesn't leave us alone. He comes and he's always throwing temptations and things at us, and he's looking for a place to get us. And that's why we're to put on the whole armor of God and keep that shield of faith, and that really means to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you put on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're putting on the joy of the Lord and the beauty of the Lord, and then you're able to stay strong in the battle. And he says, even God will come with a recompense, and He will come and save you. And I'm just going to close right there. He's going to come and save you. And listen, there's a salvation that you and I will enjoy when we get home to glory. That every one of God's little children, as we've already heard, everyone He foreknew will be with Him in heaven in immortal glory. But there is a daily, hourly, moment-by-moment deliverance that you and I can find and will find in the Lord that He's also given to us. It's come by His grace that we enjoy when we just simply rest in Him. Are you like me sometimes? You know you ought to turn it over to the Lord, but you just keep picking it up. You know you ought to just leave it in the Lord's hands, but you just want to figure it out. You know that the Lord's got it all in control, but you just like to tell Him a little bit what to do. You like that? You know what the Lord does with us when we're like that? He's got to bring us down to where we understand, Lord, I'm not in control. Thou art in control. I can't open the eyes of the blind. I can't unstop the deaf ears. But Thou, You can. That You're able, Lord, to raise the dead. You're able. There is no problem with the lame. Listen, they came with men that didn't have arms. He didn't just have a broken arm. They didn't have arms. And He restored their arm. He didn't just fix the arm. They didn't have an arm. And He gave them an arm. If He can do that, can He give you what you need? Is He real? Or are we just talking about something that's not real? You know better. He's real, isn't He? And the reason you know He's real is because of what Jeremiah says. He's spoken to you. He's talked to you. It isn't because the preacher told you. He's manifested Himself to you. The preacher simply confirms that which He's already put in your heart. And I'm telling you, there's a friend one day that'll carry us out of this trouble world and we'll be with him forever. But while we're in this world, he's with us in every battle you'll ever face in your life. So you're really never alone. You might feel it, but it's not true. That's why we're to lean and trust and depend upon him and enjoy that salvation that's in him. May the Lord bless us to be able to do that. And when you get a little weak, listen, find the brethren. Get close to the flock. Get to a meeting house. Because I'll tell you what the gospel will do. It'll confirm those weak knees. It'll strengthen those arms. It'll strengthen you for the battle. It'll help you put on the whole armor of God. And when you put on the whole armor of God, it isn't about whether you might stand or not. Listen, your faith won't fail. You know why? Jesus prayed for it. Jesus said, I pray that your faith fail not. And it will not fail. It cannot fail. The armor is a sufficient supply for you to battle in this world when you wear that armor, the helmet of salvation, your loins girt about with the truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He didn't give you a thing for your back because you're not supposed to be running away. You're supposed to be pressing forward toward the mark of the high calling of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's given us everything we need for the battle. And it'll be a battle until we get to the end. And here's the good thing, though. We're not alone in this battle. We have the captain of the Lord's host with us. Joshua said, are you with me or are you against me? I'll tell you, if he's against you, you're in trouble. But if he's with you, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? When you have a mind to pray, remember me and God bless you.
You know 206? 206. If you know it.